classroom was filled with the hum of voices, a low current of discussion that ebbed and flowed between frustration and fascination. The boys sat in a semicircle, books open on the tables in front of them, some annotated with scrawled notes, others barely touched. The focus group was meant to dissect the strange case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but the conversation quickly transformed into something else, an exploration of the self. Isaiah leaned back in his chair, arms crossed. His voice carried a tone of detachment.
This book is just meh. I don't really hate it, and I don't love it. There's some aspects of it that I like, but some of it went straight over my head.
A hint of resistance was audible in his voice. A resistance not just to the novel, but to what it represented, the history it upheld, and the silences it imposed. Joseph, animated and engaged, leaned forward.
It had a good meaning, though, like one side representing the good of man and the other side showing up intrusive thoughts, desires, things that aren't supposed to be let out.
Joseph's words lingered. Obi-Wan nodded in agreement.
That's what gets me. At first, you think Jekyll and Hyde are separate people, but by the end, you realize, nah, they're the same. And then you start questioning. Did good even exist in the first place? We like to separate things like good and evil, black and white, but life is grey, isn't it?
Flipping through his notes, Michael chimed in.
That's what's confusing, though. How can you bring out the full evil side of a person? Is there really such a thing as being fully evil?
The room fell into a thoughtful silence. Then Michael continued.
The potion represents addiction. Like Jekyll wasn't just experimenting, he was escaping. He kept doing it because it let him be Hyde without consequences. But then, of course, we know there really were consequences.
Isaiah nodded.
Yeah, he got too greedy. He kept doing it so he could be Hyde and have no responsibilities. That's just stupid, though. Why would you do that to yourself?
There was a sharp edge to his voice. Something personal, hidden beneath the critique. Tim scoffed.
Society tells you to be one thing, but inside you feel another. Just look at Mr. Hyde. The message is clear. Don't stand out, just fit in. Be like everyone else. But I don't want to be like everyone else. I like being different.
Michael continued the theme.
Being different, though, can be good. It's just that Jekyll lost control. Maybe the story is about that, about how hard it is to balance the two sides of yourself.
Joseph exhaled, glancing around the room before speaking.
It's like, we all do this, right? We have a version of ourselves we show to people, and another version that stays hidden, especially as black boys, like, you know how old white people see us. So sometimes we change the way we act, just so we don't get judged or seen as a threat. Like when I'm out in public, I keep my head down, but when I'm with my friends, I can be free. It's like, just like Jekyll and Hyde, we also have two sides to us.
His words hung in the air, heavy with truth. Obi-Wan nodded slowly.
Shapeshifting, like Jekyll and Hyde.
Joseph's eyes flickered with recognition.
Exactly. We all put on a performance in certain spaces, whether you want to or not. And so you wonder, where's the real me?
Isaiah thought about that for a moment.
So, Jekyll and Hyde isn't just about good and evil then. It's about the pressure to be someone you're not.
The silence that followed wasn't uncomfortable. It was reflective. Each of them, in their own way, had felt this duality. The expectation to be one thing while suppressing another. Joseph leaned back in his chair, deep in thought.
I think Hyde was dehumanized because he went against what society expected. Back then, being a proper gentleman meant following Christian values, and science was starting to challenge that. Maybe that's why Hyde seemed so monstrous.
One of the boys, Tom, had been quiet for most of the discussion, but now he finally spoke.
Yeah, but him being described as monstrous back then means that he was something that wasn't human. And you look at how black people were treated in the 1800s. The way the other was seen back then, I guess you could say it's kind of the same thing.
Tim sat up straighter and joined in.
Exactly. It's not just about Hyde being evil. It's about how difference itself gets demonized. If you're not normal, if you don't fit into their world, you become the monster. Hyde was different, and he was painted as the bad guy for it.
Something clicked as Isaiah stared at the book.
You know what? Maybe Jekyll's mistake wasn't making the potion. Maybe it was thinking he could separate the parts of himself like that. You can't just push one side away forever. It doesn't work like that.
Michael grinned.
Maybe that's right. But if I ever see a potion that promises to fix everything, I'm not drinking it.
The conversation circled back to Jekyll, to his repression and his eventual downfall. Tom brought up the way Victorian gentlemen were expected to suppress their emotions, and how that might have pushed Jekyll towards his transformation.
He couldn't let his emotions out. He had to be perfect. But when he let go, he lost control.
Michael sighed.
So, what's worse? Holding it in or letting it out?
The question lingered. There were no easy answers. Not for Jekyll, not for them. But in that moment, they understood the story wasn't just about a man who drank a potion. It was about identity, expectation, and what happens when the world forces you to choose between who you are and who they want you to be.